Well, let me pray once more. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us now as we look at your word. We pray that you would build us up, that we might encourage one another better. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think many of us would agree, wouldn't we, that church life is really important. It's the principal place of teaching, of growth, of fellowship. But sometimes we struggle, don't we? We might struggle to think, well, how do I relate to the people at church? Because they're all so different from me. They don't have my same culture. They don't have the same language, maybe, as I do. They don't have the same accent, maybe. The whole range of other differences that could be there, aren't there? A whole bunch of differences. And we need help, don't we? Because it's not obvious. It's not necessarily common sense for how to get along with each other, to how we interact, how we grow together as God's people. And the reason it's not obvious is because we get it wrong so often, isn't it? If it was obvious, we wouldn't need to worry about it. It would just go without saying. But the fact is, it doesn't go without saying. We need to receive teaching about these things. And that's why we should be wonderfully thankful that the Bible does help us. There are these famous one another sayings in the New Testament. We looked at some of them last summer, and we're going to look at some of them this summer. And they all speak about how we can interact with one another to the ultimate goal of building each other up, of loving each other. And as we think about these different one another's, we're going to look at a number of them over the next few weeks or so. Let me encourage you to think this. As you're listening to each of them, here's a general standard application. How can I do that? And how can I do it more and more? So whatever one another we're looking at each week, think, how can I do that? And how can I be doing that more and more as I take my part in the life of the local church? Because that is how we will live the Christian life better. And that's how we will love each other better. Well, the first one another we're looking at this week is to encourage one another. And you'll have heard that was found in the letter to the Thessalonians, the first letter to the Thessalonians. And it's a letter to believers under pressure. They'd experienced much affliction, chapter 1, verse 6. And Paul, who's writing to them, longs for them to keep going in what they already know, to be those who are standing fast in the Lord, chapter 3, verse 8. That they be those who do what they are doing more and more, chapter 4, verse 1. And he exhorts them to do a number of things in this letter, but the one we're looking at is that he exhorts them to encourage one another. And he uses that phrase twice. I wonder if you notice that in verse 18 of chapter 4 and then again in verse 11 of chapter 5. So it seems to be an important thing he wants to mention. It's not a throwaway thing. He's mentioned it twice. So it should prick our ears up if we're Bible readers. Think, oh, that's been mentioned twice. What was he saying? What should I draw from this? So we might then ask, well, what does he mean by encourage? The Greek word, which is what the New Testament was written in, the language of Greek, it has a sort of really broad range of meanings. I was looking at it this week, and it can mean three things: to ask, beg, or plead, to comfort, encourage, exhort, urge, or thirdly, to call or invite. So it's quite a broad sort of range of possible meanings. But I think in the context, encourage is the right sense, what most translations go for, although I did note that one translation, the International Children's Bible, had the word comfort. But I wonder if that might have been because it's a children's Bible and maybe encourage might seem a harder word for a younger person to grasp. I'm not sure. So what should then our working definition of encourage be? Well, in English, again, maybe unhelpfully or not, I don't know. Encourage can mean a number of different things. You'll notice that. Encourage can mean a number of different things. We could say encourage somebody to do something. So persuasion. You know, I'm encouraging my child to do as he is told. I'm encouraging my child to eat their green beans. I'm encouraging church members to be at church on time for the service or whatever it might be. But you know, you have that sort of thing in your workplace. I'm encouraging my employees to not take too long at their work at lunchtime. We don't, you know, that sort of thing. But there's another way we can think of encourage is to give somebody support, courage, or hope. And I think Paul is using this Greek word in that second sense. That second sense is what is at play here. Paul wants the believers to give support, courage, and hope to each other. He wants them to give support. He wants them to give courage. He wants them to give hope to each other. So as we think about this phrase, encourage one another, we're going to think about it under three headings. Maybe if you're a younger one and you're following along the sheets, you can maybe note down these three headings. Firstly, we want to encourage by the gospel word. Encourage by the gospel word. So we thought there about encouragement being giving support, courage, or hope. And we might then think, well, how do I do that? How do I do that to other Christians? Because the thing is, we might need to do it more and more because the world seems to be becoming increasingly hostile, isn't it? I'm not saying that I think in a sense it's just becoming more obviously hostile. I think it's always been hostile to Christian people, but the world is becoming more obviously hostile. We hear of Christians in very difficult situations across the world, Christians who are facing persecution, who are being ill-treated. But of course, we don't need to face really terrible persecution to know that Christian people need encouragement. Because life is hard in a fallen world, isn't it? We have our health issues. We have health worries. We have the common unkindness that people face from each other, from people in the world. We have the stresses of life under the sun where all seems like vanity. Well, in Thessalonica, Paul is dealing firstly here, and the first thing he's dealing with when he says encourage, he's saying this. He's saying to people who are grieving over friends who've died, verse 13, brothers, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. So he's speaking to people in sorrow, in grief, and he's saying to them, don't want you to be uninformed. And what does he do then? Well, verse 14, he gives them the gospel. Listen, verse 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. So the solution to their griefs and sorrows is the gospel. The solution to their sorrow and sadness about friends who have died, their solution is the gospel. The gospel word of the risen, the dead and risen Jesus Christ. The one who went to the cross, who died for our sins and rose again to give us new life. And as Paul has encouraged them with that word, that gospel word, he then says, verse 18, encourage one another with these words. So he's given them a little gospel summary in verses 13 to 17. About why, in their grief over friends who've died, they can have hope, they can not grieve as others grieve, because of the gospel of the risen Jesus Christ. He then calls them to do the same thing, to encourage one another with these words, to take this message and encourage each other with it. So friends, how can we encourage one another? Well, you take the good news of Jesus, and in it, you point others to it and encourage them to see the hope that is there. And if it's a word, then words are necessary to do this. We don't just sort of see people and by our vibe give people encouragement. we need to use words. We'll need to speak these things to each other. We'll need to apply these things to our lives and to others' lives. So do you want to know how to encourage a struggling, a sad Christian? Encourage them to look to Jesus. Seeing him and his work, wonderful good news, to lift the wounded and sorrowful spirit. Friends, can't we all do this? Even a small child can say to a sad mum or a sad dad, look, Dad, look at Jesus. Mum, you don't need to cry. Look at Jesus. Look how wonderful he is. He died for you. He rose again for you. He promises you wonderful things in the future. So don't be sad now. Look at the wonderful Jesus. And of course, we don't need to be eloquent to do this, do we? We can just say simple things. But we do need to speak and share the gospel with each other that we might find hope in this life. So comfort, encourage each other with the gospel. For the good news of Jesus comforts the weary and brings them hope. But when we encourage, we can also be those who encourage to get a response. And that takes us to our second heading and second use in 5 verse 11. Second heading, encourage with the gospel to get a response. Encourage with the gospel to get a response. I wonder if you've ever experienced the following words. Mum, Dad, I'm bored. Maybe you're experiencing this right now. Some children are saying, I'm bored. Mum, Dad, I'm hungry. I've got a bit of rumbling tummy myself. Mum, Dad, are we there yet? We were in the car yesterday, and that was an experience we experienced yesterday. How much longer to go? How many minutes to go? How many minutes? Have you ever said these phrases? Have you ever heard them? But the thing that's interesting about them is they're not just statements, are they? They're statements that imply a response is required. They want mum and dad to do something about these problems. Make life less boring, mum. Give me food, dad. Get to the destination quicker, please. That is, there is an implied response, isn't there, when these complaints are made? What is said is meant to provoke reaction. And that's the sort of encouragement Paul wants us to do in chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. When he's speaking to them, he's encouraging these believers that they know what is going to come at the end, that they're not destined for God's judgment, that they are destined for salvation because of what Jesus has done. But these great gospel truths are to lead to something. Look at verse 6. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. And then further on in verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So when Paul says in verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing, he wants them to do what he's been doing in the previous verses. Remind each other of the gospel. Remind each other who you are. You are saved. You're not destined for God's judgment. You are destined for salvation. So, keep going in the faith. Stand firm. So that's another way we can encourage each other, isn't it? Point people to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Point them to his gospel. Point them to the blessings held out to them. And then say, encourage, friend, keep going. Friend, keep going in light of these truths. Encourage them to live in light of them. Look, Jesus has died for you, so don't sin. Live a godly life. We all need help to keep going, don't we? I certainly do. We all need help to keep going in the Christian life. So let's encourage each other with the good news of the gospel, that there's no judgment in Christ for those who are in him, that we are held out eternal life, that we're held out salvation. And therefore, let's encourage each other to keep going, to keep being those who stand fast in the Lord, who keep walking to please God. But there's an important final thing I want to mention as we think about encouraging one another. We thought about encouraging one another in sorrow and grief. We thought about encouraging each other for a response. But thirdly, we need to encourage each other just by being there. By being there. If we want to encourage one another with the gospel, if we want to encourage each other to keep going in light of the gospel, we need to be present. We need to commit ourselves to being with God's people. Because friends, this might seem like a glaringly obvious thing to say. We can't encourage people we don't see. We can't encourage people we don't spend time with. We need to be involved with one another. And of course, that means more than the gatherings of the church. But it doesn't mean any less, does it? If we want to encourage each other, we need to be present and part of the local church. We need to take part in its gatherings. Because that's how we know who to encourage. That's where we can encourage each other. That's what's going on in Paul's letters, isn't it? He writes to specific groups of believers in particular postcodes, assuming that they're living in a community, that they are a little community of people who spend time with each other. So they know who to encourage and that they have a place, a meeting in which to encourage one another, the gathering of God's people. So we do encourage with our words, but if we commit to the local church and being present, we can encourage in other ways. Because people will see us present, won't they? They'll see us trusting in the gospel, being there, singing to Jesus, praying. And so they will be encouraged to do so as well in the midst of their sorrows as they gather. People will see us trusting in the gospel as we pray, as we listen to God's word, read and preached, and therefore seeking to stand firm. So we will encourage each other to do so as well. So being there on Sunday, being at other meetings of the church, are encouraging. Friends, you might think on a Sunday morning or midweek, if you're going to a midweek meeting, I don't know, I'm not up for it today. Friends, let me encourage you. I sometimes feel like that too. But it's wonderfully encouraging if you're there, because other people will see you trusting Jesus in the midst of your sorrows, in the midst of the ups and downs of your life. And it will be an encouragement to them to keep doing so themselves. We can encourage each other, spur one another just by being there. And of course, we know that that's true because we know what the opposite experience is, isn't it? If somebody doesn't come regularly, it's discouraging, isn't it? Now, I'm not against holidays. Let me encourage you to say that. I'm all for holidays. We're going to have a holiday in a couple of weeks' time. And I know that people are going to have holidays and are going to be on holidays just now. I'm not against holidays. I'm not against people being sick. I'm not against people going away to visit friends. Not in the slightest. But it is good that ordinarily we commit to being present with God's people when they meet. It's not the end of encouragement, but it's surely a good start as we seek to encourage one another. So friends, let's encourage one another as we seek to love each other as God's people. Let's comfort each other with the gospel word. Let's hold out the wonderful truth of Jesus to the sorrowful, the downcast. Let's encourage each other with the gospel so that we might stand firm in Jesus, that we might keep trusting in him, that we might keep doing so more and more and more. And let's encourage each other by being present, by being with God's people regularly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful commands in your word, these one another's. We pray that you'd help us this week as we think about encouraging one another with the word, encouraging each other with salvation, encouraging each other to keep going in the faith in light of the gospel word, and to keep going and to keep encouraging each other by being there. These things are not always easy, Heavenly Father. We ask that you would help us by the power of your Spirit to be such a people that encourage each other regularly with our words, by our presence, by sharing Jesus with one another. That young and old, we might encourage each other in our holy faith. That we might live for you and the Lord Jesus more and more. In his name we pray.